It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley are here. We'll get their reaction to, you know, the big new iPhone announcements. But Tuesday was much more important than that. Patch Tuesday and, of course, the big Destiny release. Lots of news coming up. Windows Phone News, too, as well. From Paul, Mary Jo, and Windows Weekly, next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley, episode 379, recorded September 10th, 2014. Snarknado. Windows Weekly is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with Citrix ShareFile. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com, click the microphone, and enter Windows. And by IT Pro TV. Are you looking to upgrade your IT skills or prepare for certification? IT Pro TV offers engaging and informative tutorials streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device. For 30% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW30. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and use the offer code Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover Windows Weekly every week. And goodness gracious, that's the name. And what year are we in, Paul? I think we've been doing this since Vista came out, right? So that's...
I'm not getting into this conversation again.
A long time.
I don't remember. Stop highlighting that I don't remember.
It's been too long. Paul Theron is here at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, author of a great many books on all sorts of subjects, including the Delphi 3 Super Bible. Also with us, Mary Jo Foley at allaboutmicrosoft.com. Good to see you both.
You too.
Welcome to the program. I guess there's really big news this week, and I think we really should start off with that. Big day yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Talking about Patch Tuesday?
Patch Tuesday, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Patch Tuesday, a big one.
Don't you feel sorry for anybody, unless you're like accused of something really horrific crime, you want to announce it on...
Actually, you know what? All joking aside, we should talk about the important Apple news from yesterday, which, of course, was the killing of the iPod Classic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that would happen a long time ago. That's why I bought an iPod Classic like a couple of years ago, or last year even. Because I felt like this can't last.
I know. That's it's like someone didn't notice one. It was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They forgot to kill it. That's why we've got it. Right here. And anybody
the
wants
pleasant
to buy
clicking
it,
$1,000. It makes like, accesses songs.
No, you know what? I bought one for my car because I wanted to have the maximum storage in my car, and it's 128 gigs of music in my car. It's great.
Sure.
Hard to fill it.
More than that. It's, or is it 128?
128 gigs. Oh, no, you're right. It is more. 160.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Wow. But they do have a 128 gig iPad and 128 gig phone now, so.
I know.
What do you need this for anymore?
Music is so 2000s, Leo.
I don't. So I'm doing a survey.
Yeah.
Let me knock on your door, Mr. Right. Mr. Theron, Ms. Foley.
Oh, hold on. Let me give you the actual answer I would give you if you did come to my door. Yeah. Stephanie, it's for you.
Mrs. Theron, I have a question. Do you still store stuff on your phone? How much storage are you? Let me take your phone out right now and tell me how much you've used. Because I buy 16-gig phones because I never put anything on the phone. It's all streaming.
Mm-hmm. See, I was just thinking that. I partition things. And I do put some music on the phone. And I put a couple of audiobooks, that kind of thing. But I'm not going to put videos on the phone.
No.
So you don't really need a lot of storage. I'd feel more comfortable with 32, but...
Yeah, the 16 is probably a little light, but...
16 plus micro SD, you know,
right,
perfect.
Right.
I'm using 5 gigs out of 20, out of 30.
My point exactly.
Yep.
My point exactly.
Not much.
So, but I mean, there are people still, and every time I say this who say to me, oh, You know, you need to have much more room. I put videos.
I need more room on my tablet than anything. And the reason is, you know, for work purposes on a laptop, it's just a couple of applications, some data synced from OneDrive, and I don't have any entertainment on there at all. But where I want the space is for HD video on a tablet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't really need a lot of space on a laptop. 120 gigs is great. You know, SSD. And then on a phone, you know, these days, depends on the phone, 32 with no expansion, 16 plus expansion is fine.
You know, I was thinking the other day, Microsoft is doing this exactly right. Google releases glasses. Microsoft says, we have them, but doesn't release them. Then when Google Glass is a complete flop, they go, well, we
see what it see.
Microsoft, Apple announced, well, Apple never announced anything, but everybody assumed Apple's going to do a watch. So Microsoft says, oh, we got one, but doesn't release it. And then Apple.
Well, that's coming soon, Leo.
Is it? You think?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know,
I got a lot of people tweeting me this. Is that the watch you're talking about? The Zoom
That's an awesome pitch.
That would be something I could do with my Zune. I still have my Zune HD. I'd like to use it for something.
I like it.
You know, there
HD.
Was a Zune, like a small Zune. They mm-hmm. should have used one of those. But I appreciate him using an original brown Zune.
Yeah. A little Zune.
Especially brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about... Do you have anything to say?
About what?
About what Apple announced.
I went shopping yesterday and I didn't watch the announcement.
Oh my God. Now, this is a political thing for you. Like, I.
No. Because, you know what? I knew at the end I could just read a few stories and see what happened. I wasn't like waiting with bated breath because I don't cover Apple.
Right. You know what's funny is there was, for the first 20 minutes of their live stream, which we were covering, because of course.
That was brutal.
There was Chinese translation going on the whole time. Somebody was talking
in Chinese. I have never seen a stream mishandled like that. It was the quality was terrible. It dropped out. It cracked. I tried to watch it on Apple TV. I actually moved my Apple TV in my office, put it on the
screen. Because you had to use, you couldn't watch it on Windows, right?
I don't even know. I didn't even try.
You had to use Safari. Right?
You had to use an Apple product.
Okay. That didn't factor into my decision, but I had to unplug it twice to reboot it. It literally crashed the thing to the point where it wouldn't respond to the
crashed
remote.
Your Apple
twice.
TV?
Yes. And that was so lousy. Granted, I listen, everybody on Earth who has an internet connection was watching this thing basically, but it astonishes me that a couple of Apple's technical prowess couldn't, you know, figure this kind of thing out.
You know, there's an article which is everybody's been sharing from a guy we've had on Twit before, Dan Rayburn. He's a streaming media mm-hmm. guru. And he said it's actually Apple's fault. It wasn't that so many people were watching. Apple didn't let Akamai cache it with the way they had designed their page. They made, like, beginner mistakes.
They don't really do live streaming of events very often.
Well, now we know why. You know, the funny thing is they do the iTunes Festival brilliantly. That thing goes off without a hitch all September. And I'm thinking that was probably a third-party team, and they should just bring those guys in. Because, frankly...
You know, sometimes when you watch a movie, it's so horrible that it becomes funny.
Yeah, this wasn't that.
And fun. But sometimes they're so horrible, they're just horrible. Yeah. They're just painful. And that's what this was like. It was just... It wasn't even funny. It was awful how terrible it was.
Yeah.
So I'll watch it again, you know, without the Chinese, hopefully, or Japanese, or whatever it was. But... You know, I will maybe couch a few of the things that they did in the context of what Microsoft is doing and what the rest of the industry is doing. I mean, obviously, from the cynical Microsoft perspective, a lot of people will look at this stuff and say, wow, the new iPhone 6 looks a lot like the Lumia 925. Wow, they've reinvented NFC mobile payments, which Windows Phone added 2 years ago, although it went absolutely nowhere, et cetera, et cetera. There's all that kind of stuff. But honestly, some of the stuff about the iPhone is actually going to help Windows Phone, I think. So for mobile payments being the biggest one, Apple has the market power to get all of the major credit card companies and banks, retail stores, restaurants on board. And that will open up NFC mobile payments, which, by the way, have been around for years, to everybody, to Android, to Windows Phone, et cetera. And I think Apple, by pushing this thing through and making it happen, that will actually benefit everyone, including people who don't ultimately decide to buy an iPhone. And so I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
The watch, don't care about.
Yeah. I Apple's got a lot of clout in the market. So Apple not supporting NFC, you know, kind of means it's on hold until Apple does. I'm surprised they did, frankly.
Sort of. I mean, you know, remember Android had it. I mean, you know, Samsung.
It's been on everything except.
By the way, I had an instance this summer when I was in Barcelona where before I got my, you know, in-country SIM kind of thing figured out, I wasn't able to get online with the phone that had I was taking pictures with. And so I did an NFC share where you bump the two phones together and it went from Windows phone to Android. The Android phone was the one I could get online with and I was able to share a photo, you know, by virtue of the fact that both of them had NFC. And I'm sure the transfer occurred over Bluetooth or whatever, but the point was they both had NFC, do that kind of fun bump thing, and it worked. Like, it actually worked. And, you know, that doesn't happen a lot. But I can assure you, now that these Apple guys have it, you're going to see guys doing wrist bumps all the time with their stupid watches. You know, like you know this is going to happen.
But people are going to say, well, of course Paul doesn't like it, and he's a Windows guy. He's, you know, and I think a lot of people, Android people said, oh, it's just, you know, it's just a Me Too thing from Apple.
Everybody. No, I have an Android watch. I don't like that either. That's why I don't think the Apple watch is that interesting. I've used a smartwatch recently. They didn't, as far as the smartwatch goes, I don't think they announced or showed anything that was particularly different from what's available on Android. It's Apple, so you know the devices will be beautiful, and you know the software will be elegant, and I know that I don't want to watch. So whatever. Yeah. I mean, at some point in the future, you know, a year from now when Watch 2 comes out, or 2 years from now when Watch 3 comes out, you'll see some innovations that make these things a little more desirable. They'll get smaller and thinner.
Yeah.
They won't be as dependent on an iPhone. They'll be independent. You know, remember when iOS or iPhone or iPad or whatever it was, the moment where this doesn't require a PC tethering. It was like, this is just now a standalone device. That makes something like that much more useful. And I think that that's where Watch heads. You know, until then, it's a curiosity. But I just, you know, I think for people who are going to work out and stuff, these things will become interesting.
I'm curious to see if Apple has the clout, and I bet they do, to get the carriers in line. Because remember, even though Google Wallet's been out for a while, Verizon wouldn't put it on the phones, for instance, because they had their own wallet, ISIS. The wallet formerly known as ISIS.
That was the other end run that Apple did, right? So
the
way that Microsoft implemented wireless payments was the secure element was on the SIM. Which means you need the wireless carrier to work with you, which means, by the way, that none of them did, except for one supposedly, although I'm not even sure that ever happened, which was Orange in France. And so for the past 2 years, no one has ever come on board again to do mobile payments on Windows Phone. It's hard to tell because the way Apple does things and announces things, it's not always clear. But the way I took it was the secure element in iPhone 6 is in the phone.
Yeah,
and someone just told me via email or via comments, perhaps, that KitKat enabled this functionality as well. Because, you know, frankly, when you want to do great things on a wireless network, first thing you need to do is bypass the carrier, right? Because those guys hold everything back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. What a surprise. Verizon doesn't want to use the Google Wallet. What a shock.
Yeah.
I mean,
the problem with these watches to me, and I'm somebody who actually does wear a regular watch still, is they don't really do anything much that the phone can't do. So why not just use your phone? And I know people say, oh, you have to take it out of your pocket, more intrusive. But until they are really complimentary to the phone, I don't want one.
You're actually more right than you may realize because in my experience, at least with the Android. Well, no, I mean, you're right, but you're also right on a different level because in my experience with the Android Wear watch, I would say not 9 times out of 10, but 7 or 8 times out of 10, when you see something on the watch or something happens, you get a notification, you look at it, it says, go to the phone.
Right.
You know, and I'm sorry, but that's worthless. The other thing is, you know, I wear a Fitbit and this is like the Kindle of wearables. It doesn't get a day of battery life. It doesn't get 2 days of battery life. It gets weeks of battery life.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I feel weird about it. Like, I'll just plug it into the charger to see because it's been like 10 days. And it's like, nope, 36% used. That's it.
Yeah, but you charge your phone every day. What's the big deal? You just put your watch and phone next to each other on the bedside.
Yeah, we're not robots. We're going to like take off all these electronics and plug them into different outlets everywhere. I mean,
I already do that, so I don't.
Well, but this is yet another thing to plug in and manage yourself. And as Mary Jo just said, and she's right, it doesn't really add a super amount of extra value over what you're already getting from the other devices you're already charging.
A Fitbit is where I see a wearable making more sense.
But all watches at least do the pedometer. I mean, that's not...
Yeah,
right, but like I said, though, this is smaller and it lasts for 2 weeks almost in a charge.
Right.
And wasn't the last rumor we heard the supposed Microsoft Watch was more like a Fitbit, right? And it was Pebble or something like that. So I actually thought, okay, if it's like that and you say bundle it maybe with the Xbox and have some kind of a tie-in that way, then that to me makes more sense than a watch that does exactly what my phone does.
Okay.
Plus, I think my Fitbit is giving me mercury poisoning or something. It's really excellent. this kind of weird rash that I have.
No, that's that. Is that the nickel? Oh no, that was the.
That is the one I have. I don't actually have that problem.
Yeah,
I know that's a problem.
Okay. I mean, I'm a fan of watches. I like, but I agree that they're not a necessity. They're a luxury. They're an add-on.
Yeah, I don't think they ever become anything other than an add-on. But I do think they get more useful over time.
So what could Microsoft do?
Early
they're watching this and they're looking and they're assessing. They're in somewhat of an advantage because they're the last to the table at this point.
Oh, I can tell you two things right off the top of the bat that they can do, and one of them I know they are doing. The first one is cross-platform compatibility. When you buy an Android watch, it's Android.
Yes.
If you buy an Apple watch, it's Apple, and you're locked in to those ecosystems. The Microsoft one will be cross-platform. This is the new mobile first cloud first thing.
Like the Pebble.
The Pebble's
the only cross-platform one I know of. It works on Apple and Android.
Yeah, and the other one is just...
This is ironic because in the old days, Apple always had to work with Windows because you were the small one and you had to work with the big guy. And now Microsoft's in that position exactly. They have to be compatible because nobody's going to buy one that will just work with a Windows phone.
Right.
It's small enough. Yeah, the watch market is a fraction of the phone market already. You don't want to make it, what's the fraction of 4%? I mean, come on. Yeah. So it makes sense. They have to be multi-platform. Yeah.
Yeah. But Paul had heard October maybe, right?
Oh, really?
October, yeah. And I was going to say, real quick, though, the second thing they could do that I think would be attractive to a lot of people, and they are doing, is it's going to be more like a band and less like a watch. In other words, you're not going to get that big circular chunk. It's going to be more like the Samsung, whatever that one is called.
You know what happens with an Apple announcement? It's really kind of interesting. Is that everybody, and I'm suckered by this a little bit too, says, all right, we've seen what happened with MP3s, it happened with smartphones. We thought it was going to happen with watches. We've seen everybody throw stuff against the wall. Now let's see how Apple reinvents the category. And you know what? This time I don't think they did. I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything in this new watch that makes me go, oh, finally. They fixed that.
By the way, I don't doubt that they will have the best-selling smartwatch by virtue of the fact that their ecosystem is full of people that spend money.
I'll buy it. Yeah, I mean, of course.
People. Mm-hmm. And because it works with the iPhone, which is very popular in the, the kind of rich markets where these types of devices would tend to sell better. And so, and I think you're right. You were mentioning before the show, I think China and Japan and certain markets where they see value. Like the reason Apple has a gold version of the iPhone, in certain markets, that's, people love that stuff. And I think it attracts that same crowd.
Yeah.
I think the thing on Microsoft that we have to think about is what is the unique or the value add thing that they bring that the other people don't have, right? So if they just field a watch that does everything that a Pebble does or the Apple Watch, okay, they're not really playing to their strength. So the trick for us, I think, is to think about what are they going to make it tie to or have uniquely that the other watches don't have. And I'm betting Xbox tie-in is one thing. Johan Van Mierlo, our friend... who does some stuff around peripherals for Windows Phone, he's like, maybe they'll put those new MSN-branded apps on the Windows Watch or whatever it gets
news
called.
News alerts,
right?
Fits things. Sure.
Yep. But, the one thing I heard this week from a couple of my contacts is we might see kind of a more circumspect launch on this Windows Watch kind of a thing, like maybe a very much smaller launch targeted at a very specific segment of the market instead of here's our watch and it's meant for everybody. I think they're going to try to – that's why I'm guessing the Xbox tie-in, Xbox Fitness.
Right? I would have guessed health and fitness if they were going to
do
that.
Yeah, health and fitness. Yeah. So I think they're going to do something smaller, more targeted. Right. And, you know, just like they did with the Surface Mini where they took a step back and said, you know what? We have a product ready, but that's not the right product. Yeah. I think they may have made some watches and said, you know what? We don't have enough value add here, and we got to rethink what we're going to do for this product.
Jeez. It's going to get minied.
What if they put? Yeah. What if it were like mostly a Skype watch with just a camera and a picture, and you just Skyped with it?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Also, it could control your Xbox. You know, for those people that don't
Apple
have
watch, can be used as a remote control. Tim Cook said it will work control your Apple TV. That is a good use for it. Does the Xbox... Yeah, Smart Glass works through the Wi-Fi. So, yeah. In fact, that worked great yesterday. Because really, the big story of September 9th was Destiny. And I forgot. I went to work and I forgot. Oh, crap. I did the same thing before. So, I fire up Smart Glass and I buy Destiny on my phone. And it starts downloading my Xbox One. So, when I get home, I'm ready to play it. That's nice.
I do like that, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Mary Jo, you don't have to say yep.
Let's put this in terms of Windows. Let's say Windows 9 is going to ship on April 15th, 2015. Microsoft preloaded your PC with this thing so that on that day it would just kick off the installer and you'd wake up and have Windows 9.
You've got 9.
That would be interesting. And that's that whole click-to-run thing they do with Office now, right? While you're downloading Office, you can start using parts of it as it finishes downloading. So they've got that technology. Yeah. They could do that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Huh. That's one way to make everybody buy the new version. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. A big story broke yesterday as well. It's bad
past
timing.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. Patch Tuesday. No, it's bad timing. There is no oxygen in the environment for anything during an Apple launch. But
there isn't anyone there to report it.
Yeah, everybody's busy in Cupertino.
Even if it happened.
Yeah. This is a weird story. Microsoft and Mojang? We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, a word from ShareFile.com, secure file storage and sharing. We don't really mention the storage aspect of this, but it's absolutely true. ShareFile, I synchronize my ShareFile folders on my desktop with the ShareFile cloud. And then all the files I want to share are available on my smartphone, on my tablet, anytime I want it. ShareFile, Citrix, I really should call it Citrix ShareFile. That's the official name. And I think that's something good to keep in mind. It's from Citrix, and you know Citrix knows business. It is designed to eliminate the bane of every security and IT guy in the world, email attachments. Don't send email attachments. That's a great way to spread viruses. It's insecure. The file you're sending, I don't care what disclaimers you put under that email signature, that is not private. And frankly, nowadays with the big files we're sending, the presentations, the big PDFs, the contracts and so forth, bounce backs is a real problem. ShareFile eliminates all of these problems very simply, very elegantly. Instead of sending an attachment, you're sending a secure link to ShareFile. In fact, I'll show you what I can actually do this because I use ShareFile. I use it every week. I'm going to use it today. Wednesday is my big ShareFile day. Once I log into my ShareFile account, you'll see that because it's automatically synchronizing, all the files that I've recorded are there. This is the folder for the radio network. You see, I have other folders as well. And all of the management's done for me. So if I want to send a file, here's a spot that I have to send off to the radio stations before the show on Saturday. I check that box. Now, you could do this with an Outlook plugin. So if you're using Outlook, it's even easier than this. It looks just like an attachment. But this is the web interface. With the web interface, you can create the email yourself or say, just give me a link. Now, notice some of the settings here that are really useful. Email me when the item's been downloaded. Require recipients to enter name and email before downloading. When the access expires, anything from a day, a week, a month to 6 months, a year. I usually say never. But let's say I'm sending him an ad that it really is only good for a week. I could say, hey, that's good for a week. You could say how many times they can download it. Let's be really mean. You can only download it once. Now, what I'm going to get, you'll see here, is a secure HTTPS link. And if I paste it in, you'll see what they're going to do. So I put that link in the email. They click the link, and they get a branded page. It's got my branding on it, which is great. Doesn't it, it looks like a it came from me. Big button. They don't have to sign up for anything. All they do is click the download link. They even know they're getting a WAV file. They know how big it is. And, you know, this 10 megabyte file, that would be a bounce back on a lot of email systems. I know, it seems so small, but that would be a bounce. Never bounce. No one can see this along the way. It's totally secure. It's ShareFile, and it's really the best way to share file in business. Share files in business. I want you to try it free for 30 days. In your business, if you're an IT director or a CIO, or if you're not, give it to your IT director or CIO. 99% of the Fortune 500 companies use it. That means, let me think that. Think about that. That means 495 out of the 500 use it. I wonder who the five who don't use it are. ShareFile.com. Five companies in the Fortune 500 have yet to sign up. If you're one of them, would you do me a favor? Sign up. And in fact, do me a huge favor. When you do it, click the podcast listeners button at the top of the page and enter the offer code Windows. And then Paul and Mary Jo will get the benefit of Chevron signing up for ShareFile. Windows is the offer code. Choose your industry, too, because it's HIPAA compliant in the medical industry. It satisfies SEC regulations in the financial services industry. Everything from video, real estate, recruiting, legal, marketing. Yeah, if you're a lawyer, are you actually sending contracts and files and pleadings through the mail? That's nuts. Use ShareFile today. Use the offer code Windows for 30 days. Absolutely free. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, we're talking Winders. This was a big story that crossed the wire from, and it's from the Wall Street Journal, so I think there's some credibility. Mojang, which is a small company, about 40 people, up there in the frozen north. Where is it, Sweden?
Stockholm.
Stockholm. Yeah. And they make a little thing called Minecraft. Apparently, Microsoft's been negotiating, not this for some time, right? This has been going on for a while.
Can someone tell me why, though?
Mary Jo is going to tell us why.
I will tell you why. And I saw so many people on Twitter saying, wow, this is idiotic. And if you notice Microsoft's stock price today, it was up. So there are people who don't think it's idiotic.
The market likes it.
I think it makes sense for a couple reasons. So one, it gives them a way to spend some of their offshore cash, right? $2 billion supposedly is the price. And the last time they did this was when they bought Nokia for $7.2 billion. They want to use that cash that they have offshore.
Yeah. That's secondly, a really important point, because if they were to repatriate that cash, they'd pay U.S. taxes on it.
That's right.
I will take some of it and move to Europe. I don't understand the problem.
Me too. Yeah, why not? Right.
Why
and,
not?
You know, I saw people saying, oh, yeah, but why are they going to do this? You know, like they're getting out of gaming, right? Like they should just sell off the Xbox. And you know what? Satya Nadella made a point when he put his memo out in July about what are our priorities. He said that a big priority for Microsoft is building out the digital life category. Mm. Biggest group of technologies in there, gaming. Games and gaming. So he wants to stay in that market. Even if they someday get out of Xbox, which I don't see them doing anytime soon, if ever, they want to stay in gaming. Gaming on PC, gaming on phone, gaming on Xbox. And this plays obviously right into that as well. And, you know, I've got a nephew who's so into Minecraft. And I think people who haven't seen Minecraft think, oh, it's just a video game. It's just another kind of game, except you don't shoot people. not a dig
off.
At you, Paul.
What are you talking about?
anybody who has kids between the ages of 8 and 14, and I know you have nephews, knows.
I told you my Minecraft story, surely.
crazy.
I heard music, like weird music coming down from upstairs one time. This is about probably a year ago now. But so I kind of walked upstairs to find out, what is the sound I'm hearing? And it's coming off my son's screen. He's playing this crazy-looking, 8-bit-looking game. So I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, what is this? And he describes it to me, and I'm like, I don't understand. You shoot things. You make, you know, is it like a map editor? So then you go in and blow stuff up. And he's like, no. And as he is talking to me, this character goes flying by in space and on the screen. And I said, who was that? And he said, oh, that's my cousin Harrison. He says, he's in here checking out my thing and helping me with this. And I'm like, you know what? Have fun. This seems really healthy and normal.
I will describe it in a way that you will get, parents will get, adults of our generation, my generation and yours will get. It's Lego. It's Lego for this generation.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yep.
So, and it's Lego. They can play with their friends and family and even strangers all around the world at the same time. They can build things. You know, when I first played with Minecraft very early on, I thought, this is weird. It's 8-bit graphics. We can do better.
Yeah, what's the point? You
know? But part of its major appeal. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. No one's arguing the popularity of Minecraft.
All right, but so what are the reasons here? Mary Jo said Microsoft has a lot of money overseas and needs to spend it.
They want to get more, even more into gaming. And they also want to capture that group of people who are the next generation of coders. I saw Simon Bisson on Site World write about this today, and he's so right. You know, Microsoft wants to get into that group and kind of get them thinking about Microsoft as being cool and not Microsoft as being a dinosaur, right? So how do you do that? You own a brand that is really important to that group. It's teaching them how to think about building things, and that's what you want. Those are the people who are going to be the next generation of coders.
And by the way, let's not forget, and, you know, Steve Ballmer made this point when he bought the Clippers. I'm going to make money on this.
Yep.
This is a profitable company. They're going to make their money back.
All right, but the wrinkle here is that Minecraft's creator hates Microsoft.
I'm sure Notch will quit.
Burning hate.
No, I'm sure Notch will quit. But they don't need Notch. Notch hasn't done anything in Minecraft in years. All he's doing is floating around in his boat and drinking champagne and... No, Notch is not writing Minecraft anymore.
Right.
It's gone well beyond that.
Yeah, Bloomberg had a story, a follow-up on this, and they said they talked to people at Microsoft who said, if we get them they actually said that Notch had talked to Microsoft and had been involved in conversations, and that it was accepted that if and when Microsoft buys them, he will leave.
Because you know what? He also owns like 80% of the company. He's going to be a billionaire. Even if he wanted to with all his heart. You got $1 billion. Are you going to stay, go to the office every day and sit in front of a computer writing code? No.
That's what Dr. Dre's doing, Leo.
Although people do it.
We don't know what Dr. Dre's doing. All we know is he was not at the Apple event yesterday. That's all we know.
That's just,
he was with me. He was shopping with me.
And by the way, Xbox One's getting Minecraft real soon now. I saw it.
Yep.
And Xbox has had it for years.
Will it be remastered?
Maybe.
I noticed Michael plays a lot of Minecraft on a PC because, you know, it's a Java program. You can play it on Mac, PC. Mm-hmm. But I also seeing him play it on the Xbox a lot. And when he's playing with friends, he's almost always on the Xbox, using Xbox Live. This is good business. I don't think there's – it's like saying we're going to – people saying, why did they buy Bungie? Because it's a profitable company.
That made sense because those guys, you know, that became an Xbox premier title, you know. This one, it's not as weird as Facebook buying Oculus Rift, but it's weird. I mean, it's maybe it just doesn't seem
right. All right, you know? Paul, recontextualize. By the way, Minecraft is out on the Xbox One already.
Okay.
If there's special in-game content that is only available on an Xbox One?
Yep.
Oh, sure.
How many more Xboxes do they sell?
Or what if you sell things like they do now, how they have the add-on packs? What if you sell that as a subscription?
Yep. Ooh. Yep. It promotes Xbox Live. It promotes Xbox One.
I can't believe I'm talking about gaming on Windows Weekly. This is a first.
No, more than that. You're convincing Paul
that
a gaming company is a worthwhile purchase.
About the benefit of a game.
Yeah.
But can you shoot things?
Yeah, you can. There's a little No. You've got what do they call them in the night? The creatures that come in the night?
The creatures. What is
there are zombies actually, but there's also there's another gruel, I don't know. You could tell I don't play a lot of Minecraft. But people are doing some amazing creepers, thank you. Creepers, people are doing a lot of amazing stuff in Minecraft. Yeah. And I think this is a franchise. If you'd never say anything weird if they went out and bought some other game franchise company and said, you know, here we're making part of Microsoft Studios.
No, that's fair. I think the problem is the disconnect between the simplicity of Minecraft and the graphical and processing prowess of the Xbox.
Yeah. But that's the appeal for some reason. I don't get it either.
Oh, no, I get it. I'm just, you know, Minecraft is a game that would be easy to implement on a smartphone.
Yeah.
You know, on a very low-end platform.
That's because Notch did basically write it himself. I mean... And as a kid,
there are popular Xbox indie games like Meat Game, Super Meat Boy, or whatever, and you know they have really kind of 8-bitty type graphics, which are fine. They're fun. There's nothing wrong. You know, that kind of thing's fine. I mean, and I know Minecraft is a phenomenon. It's just that you know we're moving forward with like Call of Duty games that have the budget and special effects of a major Hollywood movie every single year. And it's like, boop, boop, boop. You know, this game is like the biggest thing in the world. It's fascinating.
It's the antidote to that, you know, big stuff.
And, you know, I wonder, because I have a lot of nieces who do Minecraft, too. And it's a way to get girls into this stuff.
Yes, girls love it.
I mean, not all the girls. Some girls want to do shooter games. Not everybody does. But building stuff, building cities, they want to do it.
Michael, who's 11, plays with his 11-year-old friend, Bridget. They love it. They play together. She's at home. He's at home. They're on the Xbox. They're talking because you have the Xbox Live and the microphone. It's their social.
Yep.
They have a play date online.
Yep. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if anything, that is like Facebook for kids, right? Yeah. In the sense that the reason Facebook is so cool to me is that it allows me to keep up with friends and cousins and other people that I know who aren't nearby. I don't see every day, but yet I get, you know, to have an understanding of what's going on in their lives. And like, this is a way for
them. This is not an... in fact, I'm wondering why they didn't buy Twitch. Did you think Microsoft was bidding for Twitch? Amazon got it.
I bet they were.
I bet they were. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I mean, it does run counter to the notion that they might be trying to spin off Xbox.
It does to me. Although when my boss at ZDNet saw that rumor come across, he's like, "Well, they're beefing up the Xbox unit so they can sell it off." But I don't see it that way because
they've been really clear that they're not doing that.
I know. And Wall Street wants them to dump the console, not necessarily the service, right? And so this is more a buy to build up the service than it is the console itself.
Yeah.
I'm just trying
to get... And then there's Hadoop. Guys, there's Hadoop, too.
Is there a Hadoop?
I bet there's going to be
Hadoop
some...
tie into Minecraft?
You know, Azure connection, you know, hosting Minecraft on Azure, using big data to process the results. Who knows?
Paul, just think of all the great, you know, Photoshop pictures you're going to be able to post on your blog from now on. Weird Minecraft mashups.
Right.
You're just going to have so much fun.
Yikes.
All right. Enough of that. It isn't. It's just a rumor, but it did come from the Wall Street Journal, which gives it a little
I
bit
think,
of...
I bet it's going to happen, especially Bloomberg's hearing it, too.
Yeah.
And,
Although we thought for sure, I mean, it was more than rumor. Google, YouTube buying Twitch, no doubt about it.
Yep.
And then something went wrong in the final due diligence, and boom, Amazon's got them.
Yep.
So that, but they're in play. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were in play. I think I don't think Notch really wanted to sell Minecraft, but I think along comes a guy with a $2 billion check, and he's going,
I was going to say, I don't care what you want to sell or not sell. When someone shows up offering $2 billion for anything, you give it to them.
Yep.
MSN. I got an email the other day from somebody who said,
you keep recommending LastPass, but you know it doesn't work in MSN.
And it's like, what? You're using what?
I don't MSN. Like to use a browser. I want to use MSN for my internet.
Is MSN
still... software?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you can still download that right now.
It's still around.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's using it per se.
Well, no, this guy was.
Right. I mean, I'm sure there's a handful of people. But yeah, you can find this software still if you want it.
Yeah.
But that's not what MSN is.
What is MSN?
That's a good question, Leo.
Yeah.
So,
especially after this week, it's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, MSN has evolved or devolved or however you want to say it over the years. I mean, obviously, it started out as the Microsoft Network, which was Microsoft's online service to take on AOL and CompuServe and so forth back in the Windows 95 days. It briefly was a sort of ISP type thing. It was a content service. Remember Mungo Park and all those crazy things? Actually, Microsoft still does some things like that.
What was Mungo Park?
It was an interactive website where people were actually going someplace, and I think it was in Africa, and then they were doing interactive things on the web, you know, way before that kind of thing was super easy to do, like we can do now. But it became over time the predecessor to Windows Live, meaning the part of Microsoft that did their online services and their online applications like Messenger. So Messenger started out as, well, probably Windows Messenger, but it was MSN Messenger. Became Windows Live Messenger over time. But then they went with the Windows Live brand. You know, they wanted to bring it back into the Windows fold. And at that time, I think that's where MSN started listing a little bit. And MSN at that point became a Netscape-style web portal, or like an AOL-style web portal, where if you go to MSN.com, what you get is a you know, news, celebrity news, weather, you know, that kind of stuff. And you can sign in with your Microsoft account and whatever. But to us here in the United States, you know, MSN is a brand from the past. But what we don't really understand is that in certain parts of the world, for whatever reason, MSN is, in fact, pretty popular. In fact, it's in the top web of top 10 of web destinations in many countries. And I think the figure that Microsoft gave me, if I remember correctly, was somewhere north of 430 million active users of this web portal. And it's probably people who just have it as their homepage and, you know, whatever. But to everyone's surprise, Microsoft this past week announced that they are rebranding some of their products and services that used to be under Bing as MSN products and services. And so, for example, we've talked a lot in this podcast, I think, about the incredible Bing content apps that were part first of Windows 8, and then now we're part of Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1. Bing News, you know, Bing Sports, Bing Travel, Bing Health and Fitness, Bing Food and Drink. I'm missing a few here. Bing Weather, maybe more.
Finance, did you say?
Finance, Bing Finance, which is becoming, which is being renamed to, I think I want to say Bing to Money or something. But those apps are going to be rebranded as MSN apps. And actually, the MSN part is going to be de-emphasized in the apps. Like, they'll just be like news, sports, you know, whatever. But I think the reason for it is that they can have a web presence for this stuff at MSN.com. So if you go to preview.msn.com now, you can see it. And what that means is every one of those apps, which are, again, frankly, pretty amazing, and today, at least for a short time now, are major selling points, I would say, for Windows and Windows Phone, all have unique integration capabilities. So, for example, in the news app, you can choose which news sources you want. You can have news alerts and news. You can follow news stories and do things like that. I actually have programmed it with, you know, company names from the tech industry, so I can follow that kind of thing. Health and fitness works as you would expect with health devices, including the Fitbit that I'm wearing. So you can track your, you know, nutrition and weight and your activity and exercise and all that kind of stuff. This is a way to have that functionality on the web, right? So previously it was available only in these apps. Now it's available on the web. And starting later this year, they'll be available in mobile app form on iOS and Android as well. And of course, that's going to freak some people out because there's always that contingent who can't stand when Microsoft does anything that's not on Windows. But I would just tell you, and I think Mary Jo would agree, if you've ever used these apps, they're fantastic. And getting them out to more people via the web and then again on these other platforms, I think makes lots of sense.
Yeah, they had a whole dedicated team under Bing called the Bing AppX team for application experience. And their job was to show people that you could build Metro-style apps, like Windows Store apps, that were really cool and useful and not just very simplistic and kind of lame. So they did that, and they built them for Windows Phone and Windows. And now that same team is the one that's porting them to iOS and Android. And I believe those apps are written in HTML.
They were, at least in the beginning. I was just going to say something to that effect.
That should make it, at least in theory, fairly easy for them to move them over. But you know, the part of this, the rebranding is kind of odd. Although you just made it make a lot more sense, Paul, when you said it's because of the commonality of the MSN page and then the apps. But
I think this would make sense on Bing.com.
It wouldn't.
Right.
It wouldn't. No. But I like this thing they call the status strip, I think, at the top of the new page where you have Outlook and Xbox. And you can just go in right into your apps there. And you can even go into Facebook or Twitter there, too.
Yeah, Leo, if you can, mouse over Outlook. Just hold it there for a second.
Yeah.
It has a fly down.
Yep.
It's kind of a neat little front end to your Microsoft stuff.
What it strikes me as, this is a portal, which is kind of an old school way of doing things, although a lot of people my age like portals. But then it's also, if you're going to use a portal, it's kind of an introduction to Microsoft services, isn't it?
Yep.
Right.
And others, Facebook and Twitter too, you know. But it really feels like this is a way to get people into the 21st century a little bit.
It's like Yahoo now, right? Like the new, like
it's very much like my Yahoo.
Yeah.
Actually, by the way, I did invent this phrase, but for those people who are freaking out about the MSN thing for whatever reason, because we all have this tendency. If I don't see it out in the world, it's not popular, you know, because you in New York experience everything that the whole world experiences, or you in San Francisco experiences everything. You know, it's really not really the way it works. And Someone said online, I think on Twitter, you know, the way to think of this is Bing is Microsoft's Google. MSN is Microsoft's Yahoo.
Yep.
And in that sense, this move actually does make sense.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to eliminate the Bing name, are they?
No, they're not. I asked them that because that was my first thought. I'm like, wow, I think they're rebranding Bing as MSN or something. And they said, no, we're not. It's just that.
That would be nuts.
We're keeping. Yeah, and we're not. It's a lot of people were saying, "Oh, so they're doing this, so that means they're selling Bing off." Nope, they're not doing that either. Nope.
Right.
I'm surprised they didn't go all in on Bing.
Yeah.
Instead of going,
By the way, originally they did, and I went back and looked at my notes because when Windows 8 launched, they were this was it. It was Bing powered. You know, these apps. Why are they Bing apps? They're Bing powered. You know, I want to say in the original, I don't remember the exact sequence of events, but I think originally Windows 8, there was a Bing app, just one Bing app. And that was the way they sort of did it. And then they started coming up with these content apps. So they had one for news, one for finance, one for sports, and, you know, one for weather, I think. And obviously there's a Bing Maps app as well, which will retain the Bing identity. I don't really remember how it came about, but some of those things like we're doing a Bing search for news. Is that what this app is? Like, it doesn't really... That's not really what it is. What it is Microsoft getting out of the content game because Microsoft's not producing this content. They don't hire reporters to write news stories.
They're paying for an aggregate.
Yeah, they did, right. But they're paying for an aggregating content from high-quality news sources like the Associated Press, and Reuters, New York Times, et cetera, et cetera. And, it's easy to explain the news parts of it. I don't really know the news sources that are the information sources that would be in, like, health and fitness, but those are the organizations in those fields who are well-regarded. Yep. And each one of those is kind of nice like that. And so it's a way for, you know, normal people to get high-quality information in those categories and not have to do a lot of the work themselves. Like, you know, you, Mary Jo, and I probably spend a lot of time, you know, or do spend a lot of time looking at very specific kinds of news. We have our own ways of going about that. But most people just want to know, you know, what's going on. And I think these apps do a fantastic job of doing that.
So weren't they hiring a lot of people to do Bing News and sports and all that? That's gone.
Yeah, they've decided.
Well, they got out of content.
That lasted about a month. Yep.
A couple years, maybe. I think they were hiring them around when Windows 8 was being launched. So I think they had it for a couple
years.
I think
you're right. Yeah.
And I think they still have a few people doing news, right, Paul? Who are doing certain kinds of content, but not like competing with news organizations, more like complementary content, I guess.
Yeah, it's not their focus.
No.
Microsoft will do a good job developing software that will let you read the news. Microsoft is not necessarily where you want to go to get the source of the news.
Right.
So this kind of makes sense.
It was to polish up those apps to make them beautiful and good looking, and probably.
And they are. They're beautiful. In fact, the very first thing I ever said to those folks when I talked to them after the initial batch was released was, "These things are gorgeous. Are you going to release this framework so that other developers can make apps that look like this?" And they were like, "Oh no, we never really thought of that." And there's still nothing to that end that I'm aware of. But I think that would be a cool thing they could do as well.
You caught me in the middle of a sandwich. Hold on.
Sorry.
Could you keep talking?
Yeah.
Sure.
What else?
The point is, if you want to see what this stuff is like, you should go to preview.msn.com and check it out. You can make that your version of MSN. You know, sign in with your Microsoft account. And really, I wrote an article that explains what each one of those services/apps provides that's unique in the terms of integration. And so you can, you know, find out that kind of stuff. And when I wrote the Windows 8.1 book, you know, instead of describing every single feature in these apps, that's what I focused on was the, you know, if you go into the health and fitness app, you can connect your information up to Microsoft Health Vault. You can create a fitness goal, like I want to lose 50 pounds in the next 6 months and I want to exercise, you know, and it will tell you how much you need to exercise, how many calories you can consume. You can keep track of all that stuff. You can, you know, put in your height and weight and all that kind of stuff. And each one of the apps has things like that. Sports has your favorite teams and favorite sports. And so you can see news just about that stuff, or you can see general sports news.
Let's talk hardware.
Okay.
Surface Pro. Anything new about the Pro?
Yeah, mine...
How's it doing?
Mine came up... came up lame today again for the first time since early in the summer, which I've heard from a few people. And this is the situation where you hit the power button and you wait, nothing happens, and you kind of tap on the keyboard and nothing happens, and you're like, "What's going on here?" And then, you know, you have to do that thing where you hold down the power button and the volume up for 12 seconds, which is really like 40 seconds, but you eventually you get it back. But it's a weird thing that happens to this machine. It happened. Remember that month before it was publicly released, they issued like a firmware fix for that. And I've had a few people say with their most recent firmware update, this has happened. And I kind of took note of that. And then I just today I went to turn it on and I'm like, what's going on here? And I don't know, so I don't know if there's another problem, but there's a firmware update. You should get it.
Would you not recommend this hardware for people given these problems?
No, I still really, really like the Surface Pro 3. I mean, it's incredibly portable. It's incredibly powerful. It's an actual PC. It's good as a tablet. It's the type of thing that's wonderful to take on a plane because it has a built-in kickstand and it's not humongous. And the person in front of you puts their seat down. It doesn't matter. I still really, really, really enjoy it. I mean, it's kind of a tough love thing. I don't know. But yeah, it's weird. To be fair, this is only the second time this has ever happened to me. So hopefully it's not a new thing, but
yeah,
it's been reliable overall. And they did release this firmware update. Actually, you may know because we talk about it every month, every Patch Tuesday, they release firmware updates for all Surface models. Not every single one gets a firmware update every month. This month was unique in that only Surface Pro 3 got firmware updates. I think there were four or five of them. And one of them appears to fix the longstanding Wi-Fi problem that people have been reporting, which they fixed once before,
and now they've fixed again.
Possibly
they fixed
twice
a
before.
A few times. Yeah.
Yeah. And third time's a charm, as you know, with Microsoft. But this is one I can't honestly say I've experienced since the RT, since the general availability of the product.
Paul, by now I'd be throwing this thing against the wall. I don't understand your patience.
No, I haven't had the Wi-Fi problem. So that's this is one of those things I've heard people complain about.
You've had other problems, but not that one.
No, I actually haven't had to. In other words, I just had this problem, the startup problem. But I haven't had this problem since June or whatever, since before it came out. My experience, by and large, has actually been very positive.
So don't be deceived by all these reports then. These are
No. I don't mean to discount anything that people have complained about. I'm sure people really are seeing what they're seeing. Some people have said that this firmware update made their machines run cooler, which is a particular issue on the i7 versions. I don't have such a machine, so I can't really say how that works. I keep waiting for it. I am curious now about how to, how this thing will work if I turn it off.
So you were able to get it back.
Yeah. And you might recall, I mean, back in June, I think this happened to me when I went on a trip to Colorado and the machine hadn't come out publicly yet and they were promising a fix. And I woke up one morning in the hotel and it was the only machine I traveled with, which is so wonderful, unless it doesn't come on. And I couldn't get it to come on and I was freaking out. And when I got to work, I had to borrow a laptop at work and I contacted Microsoft. They explained to me the secret, handshake you got to do to that will always bring it back. And it does. I mean, and it did at that time. And it did today, too. So
good.
As long as you know the trick, you're good to go.
All right. Anything else about the Surface Pro 3? Or should we? You want to talk about the...
No, that's about it. I mean, I just have a mention of the HP laptop. We were all excited back in July when they talked about the $199.
It's not really $200.
Yeah, so HP just put their preview page up for it, and it's $300, not $200, which is still actually a really good deal for that kind of hardware.
This is a lesson on how to disappoint people with a $300 price. Say it's $200 for a while, and then...
I have a theory, though.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about this. Remember, the place that we heard this price was at the Worldwide Partner Conference when Kevin Turner held it up, right, and said, yeah, this is coming, and... I remember some people said he was talking about two different laptops from HP.
Yeah. Right? Like the HP Stream that was just announced is a 14-inch device. It looks a lot like their Chromebook. You know, it's slightly different processor, but really similar, super similar, same price. Right. You know, the thing he held up looked like an 11-inch mini laptop.
Yeah. Right.
So it's possible there's an HP Stream coming that will be an 11-inch version that will be $199. Mm-hmm. So, you know, HP, you know, I guess if you're looking for a company that can communicate even worse than Microsoft, I think maybe we found it. Like, given all of this excitement, seriously, over the $200 laptop, I think they might have, you know, said, hey, by the way, we've got two of these things, and one of them is $200.
Right.
Or if that's the case.
I think that is the case. Yeah, I think as I've looked, I've seen both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still, by the way, it looks great.
$300. Come on, it's Windows 8 and everything.
So I have a $300 laptop that looks like a tank from East Germany in the 1970s. Right. And it's, by the way, it's fine. It really is fine. This machine, the $300 Stream, it's just a beautiful looking machine. It really is attractive. It's nice. Hmm. So, I mean, I that's notable.
Let's take a break. When we come back, The Verge says Microsoft's dropping the Nokia and Windows Phone branding. I don't know what that
means. That's not really The Verge saying that, but
everybody's saying that.
The Verge re-reporting. I have a slightly different take on that, by the way.
But I want to get your take.
Yeah,
we should. We don't have it in our notes, but we could add it.
Yeah, and that's other Windows.
I almost tweeted that during the show, and I decided to hold off on it because that's not really what that says.
But okay. That's what I see. That's why we tune in because we want to know what the experts.
No. This is someone who can actually read a piece of paper.
That's good enough. Makes you an expert.
But it's, I just, you know.
Makes you an expert. Paul Throbbing, Joe Foley are here. Our show today is brought to you by IT Pro TV. It's funny. I'm talking more and more to Twit viewers who have signed up for IT Pro TV and are thrilled with it. It is a way to polish your IT skills or maybe get the IT skills and get a better job. I know a lot of people who watch Twit love technology, but they're not working in technology, and they say, boy, it'd be really cool if I could get into it. Well, you know, the key is getting those skills, and maybe even more important, getting that piece of paper that says you have the skills. They call them the certs, the certifications, and there is no better way to get those certs than IT Pro TV. Tim and Don, the founders of IT Pro TV, were trainers. They were teaching people how to do this stuff for years. They saw what we did on Twit. They were big fans of the screensavers, and they said, what can we do to make it easier to get the certs, to get to learn? And they created IT Pro TV. They use the same TriCaster, the same microphones. They have a beautiful studio. They broadcast 30 hours a week live with live chat rooms. So just like us, you can get in there, ask questions, and participate. IT Pro TV is a great solution for anybody who wants to learn and get the certs, whether it's A+, Microsoft, Apple, Cisco, CCNA, Security Plus. I mean, they even have Linux Plus certifications now. So you can learn anything, Windows, OS X, Linux. You can get a better job. It's fun to watch. You can watch on your computer, your tablet, but they also have a Roku app. That's really nice because it means that you can watch, you know, have it running in the house all the time. There's Don. And there's Tim. This is the video on the IT Pro TV site explaining what they're doing and why they started IT Pro TV. It really is fantastic. And they've got a special deal, by the way. If you're fans of Windows Weekly and you go to Windows Weekly, itpro.tv/ww. There they are. They're such geeks in the fezzes. You can get a big discount. Let me tell you before I tell you what the discount is, what you get. With IT Pro TV, you get those 30 courses, 30 hours a week live. You get many, many, many courses, hundreds of hours that they have recorded live. It's cheaper than going on an IT boot camp. It's actually probably comparable to the cost of buying one book. It's interactive. They have the measure up practice exams before you take the real thing. That's worth $79 just by itself. They also have a virtual machine sandbox lab you can use with any HTML5 browser. So if you don't have Windows Server, you don't have clients, or you're afraid of messing up your work network, you can set it all up in their virtual lab. Mess it up all you want. And it really is cool. here's the deal. Normally $57 a month, $570 for the entire year. Because they're fans of Twit and because we've sent them a lot of business, they have an offer for you. If you use the offer code WW30, you'll get 30% off for the life of your account. That means it's less than $40 a month. You buy a year, it's $399. I mean, that is a great deal. Just check out how much it costs to get these certs, you know, study for these certs at a technical school, and you'll see, wow, I'm saving a lot of money. Plus 30% off. itpro.tv/WW for the introductory tour. There's lots of free content so you can see what they do. And when you decide to buy, use the code WW30 and get 30% off. It pays for itself because you're going to get a better job. What are you laughing at? itpro.tv/WW. Paul's laughing. Are you? Oh no! Wait a minute. I'm sorry. He's reading his Family Circus comic for the day.
Yeah, it was. It's funny you mentioned Family Circus. I have a pet peeve about that.
You are in the Family Circus. That's your life is Family Circus. The unfunniest comic ever written.
There's a. I used to live in Phoenix, which is where Bill Keane's from. Or what's the guy's name?
Yeah, Keane.
Bill Keane. Yeah. Is it Bill Keane?
I don't remember, but yeah. Keane.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Keane. I'm Bill Keane, yeah.
No, I was just laughing at my own internal joke. I saw an Android website that has, this is the lead headline, the best calculator apps for Android. Well, that's some hard-hitting coverage right there. That's good.
Let me make a note of that. I need some good calculator apps.
Because, you know, you got to spend time on the calculator apps.
Doesn't every phone come with a calculator? All right.
Oh, geez, all seriously. Right. I like the light on this flashlight app better than the other one.
Whatever. The best 10 best flashlight apps. Windows Phone.
Yes, exactly.
Let's talk Windows Phone. By the way, yes. Windows Phone does come with a calculator, ladies and gentlemen. Quite a nice.
Yes. There's also some nice flashlight apps available for
there
the
you
phone.
Go.
Yes, there are.
No need to suffer.
Nope. Yeah, so there's been a bunch of rumors about how Microsoft's going to get its branding house in order since it brought Nokia in. And there's been talk, I think Ev Leaks was the first one who was talking about this, saying that there was a whole schedule that Microsoft had where they were going to phase out the Nokia brand. And of course, a lot of people outside of the U.S. said that's going to be suicide because outside the U.S., that brand is huge. And it still sounded like that was the plan. Maybe he was saying it was going to be like 18 months after the close of the acquisition, and it was going to be through December 31st, 2015. I think they had a plan of a staggered rollout. So today, a site that I didn't know called geekongadgets.com say they have an internal document from Microsoft that says Microsoft's going to hide the Nokia brand from all their products starting this Christmas season.
But didn't they say that already? I mean, that's...
Actually,
here's the thing. If you go and you look at this document, that assuming they're publishing it in full, and this is not just a page of something bigger, what it says is, as part of a phased transition, we will drop the manufacturer name from product references during the holiday campaign. The holiday campaign is like an advertising campaign.
It is, yeah.
So does that just mean they're not going to say Nokia in ads? Or does that actually mean they're going to remove the Nokia name from actual products? I think it's the ads.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if there are phones, though, that come out this holiday season, they might just be Lumia, not Nokia.
By the way, maybe they will, but I'm not entirely sure that that's what that says.
Yeah,
I guess, you know, in other words, I don't doubt that Microsoft is going to drop the Nokia name over time from these products. We know that they're using the Lumia name instead of Nokia for the apps, which makes plenty of sense. Yep. I like that they're keeping the Lumia name. I think that's also smart. But I don't look at this and say, this is conclusive proof that this is happening. I look at this and say, you know, you could read this a couple of different ways.
And this comes from your years of parsing
of
Microsoft.
Being able to read, Leo. Of my Dedham public school education actually doing something positive for a change.
I can read, says Paul Theron. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, we've talked about this several times. Microsoft did, in the purchase agreement, retain the right to use the Nokia name through, 2018?
Years.
Years.
Yeah.
Years.
But Nokia does continue to sell phones, right? They're selling their own low-end phones.
Microsoft does.
No, Microsoft.
Nokia doesn't sell any phones at all.
No, but
the phones they can. In a couple of years, they can.
They can start again. Those are new phones. Those would be new.
Okay. In 2015, I think. Right.
By the way, you'd have to be insane to enter the phone market.
Well, I don't think they will, but next year they could. And if I'm Microsoft, I want to kind of wean people off that name to avoid brand confusion if they should. Right.
And there's a company still named Nokia, right? That is a whole different company now that has here maps and that they're telco stuff. I mean, so why it doesn't make sense for Microsoft to have that brand now because there's a company named Nokia that is a different company.
The only argument is that Nokia, not so much in the U.S., but all over the world, is a very powerful brand.
It is.
That's the only counter argument to it.
Right.
Are they, though, anymore? It's like Sears.
Yeah, you know, what good is Sears? Everybody knows it. But
they
what
were
does
a
it
big
mean?
Brand, you know, for a long time. That's a good point. I don't know.
Nokia's
I think
a big
it's
brand,
fading,
isn't it?
Fading quick.
Everybody in we got a couple of German visitors. That's a powerful brand in Germany. I don't think Microsoft may be quite as powerful a brand. Certainly not if you're buying a phone. I don't know.
But they have, whatever, they have to walk away.
I swear to God, I saw a Nokia phone in the Star Trek movie. There is a Nokia phone in the future. Right? Am I wrong?
Nokia phones used to be, they were so unusual. You'd see them in movies.
Captain Kirk,
you know,
he had a Nokia phone. Remember, I'm just saying. So we know there's got to be a Nokia in the future.
It's out there.
It's out there
somewhere. Yep.
Well, we also know that a PowerBook computer is going to save us from aliens.
That's right.
That's true, too.
There's another thing in this guy's post, though. Geek on Gadgets says, furthermore, the document also reveals Microsoft's going to take away the Windows Phone logo and just start using Windows instead of Windows
Phone.
Doesn't
show us that part of the document, though.
It does not show us that part of the document. Right. Michael Gillett, who is a longtime Windows watcher. He has a new blog called piptel.com. I think a week or so ago was saying, you know what? I think Microsoft's going to drop the phone off this and it's just going to be powered by Windows.
That
Windows phones
sense.
Powered by Windows or something.
Why
right?
not?
So it's a Windows phone with a small P.
I know. In a way, this makes sense. And another way, a lot of people are like, oh, this is going to be super confusing because Windows Phone OS is not Windows. I don't know. From the average consumer
it sort of
standpoint,
is. I mean,
It is. It's going to be more and more like that, right? As they go towards the one Windows.
They have a serious brand problem here. I actually
a lot of
think
brands.
The Windows name is one of the biggest problems with the Windows phones.
And you know what? It's the Windows brand is in many ways like the MSN brand. It's a very much more loved brand outside the U.S. than inside the U.S. There are countries where people think it is a huge and very valued brand. And Microsoft has all kinds of studies showing this. So they're keeping it. I mean, in a way, Windows still is Microsoft. So it would be tough to totally drop that and get away from that.
To be fair, the chat room is pointing out that the Nokia phone in Star Trek did go off a cliff. Whoops. In Hebrew, apparently.
This was the new Star Trek.
This is the new Star Trek. That's the young James Kirk driving a Corvette. With a Nokia phone,
that's
which
hilarious.
He then drove off the cliff. So,
so maybe there is no future.
So James T. Kirk killed Nokia.
He killed Nokia. Thank you, chat room, for that link. And now this entire podcast will be taken down by J.J. Abrams. I have to tell you, I am always nervous when it's a gadget blog I have never heard of.
Same.
They could make stuff up. They often do. So
I mean, the Windows brand thing that Mary Jo was just talking about has been making the rounds, you know. So it would be very easy to make draw some credence to this other thing by saying, oh, by the way, it also says this. And we all know that's true. Yeah. You know, I do. I mean, I think like Mary Jo, there's a certain amount of sense to dropping the Windows phone thing because right now, They are, and they seem like two different things. And I think it does make sense to make it one thing, you know, at this point. So I think we'll see that soon, you know, when Windows 9 just becomes Windows. It's just a guess, though. I don't know anything about it, but I think they should do that.
Yeah. It makes sense. Branding is tough.
It is.
It's really tough. Yeah. And there's, you know, these companies spend big bucks with consultants and research and studies, and there's still no clear right answer. Look at Apple. Apple has named the watch a watch.
Right.
There's an Apple logo, which can't be reproduced on anything but Apple hardware.
Yes.
Watch.
Mm, yeah.
Its name is Watch, or maybe Square, because Windows.
When you look at it on their site, it literally says Watch.
Watch.
Yeah.
At the top, you know, on the menu bar.
They didn't make that up. It wasn't like Tim Cook's great idea. Right. They hired consultants. They paid lots of money for that.
Right.
Okay. Just
they all
saying.
Do that, right?
They I know, all they do all, that. And
remember when Microsoft was trying to figure out what's a brand Bing? I mean, they spent millions of dollars. Yeah. They had all these tests and multiple
that's what they came
trademarks.
Up with. Yeah.
They came up with Bing. Yep.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Kumo was a choice. K-U-M-O.
Kumo. Well, that's the other issue. You're in a global marketplace now, so words don't mean the same all over the world. So it's tricky. And you got to get the website.
Right.
That's
and you have to think about how does it sound in different languages. Right. Like, I Kumo'd it.
I Kumo'd it.
Bing is actually pretty good.
It's not that bad.
Except it sounds like a little toyish, toy-like.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in America, in English, at least, it sounds like it's like a little, it's not serious. But what, of course, does Google sound serious?
Google.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
We live in a weird world.
Yeah.
AT&T is going to have the 830. What is the Nokia? What is the Lumia to get these days? Now that my 1520 is dead.
You need a matrix based on wireless carrier.
Yeah.
And the problem with the 1520 trying to replace that device, or a 1020 for that matter, is that there isn't one, you know, that's that good. The 820 is more of a mid-level device, not a flagship device. They call it the affordable flagship, but you know, as I think a 10 megapixel camera, as opposed to a 21 on the 1520 and a 41 on the 1020.
I feel like they're not going to sell any more of those super megapixel phones.
So I've heard that they are, we need to be patient.
Oh,
so
good, because that's look what Apple made a lot of hay on the camera in the new iPhone.
You know, this is I don't know, Mary Jo, if you see this kind of thing, but I have grown a little distraught lately at the reactions that everything gets these days. You know, Nokia, Microsoft announces these two kind of mid-level phones, and everyone's freaking out about, you know, what about Verizon? What about AT&T? Yeah. You know, people are like, I still need something to replace my Lumia 920. Lumia 920, and it's like 2 years old. They've had a 1020 and a 1520 since then. Why, you know, I think
they're just saying, and it's the end of my 2 year contract. So I'm in the market.
Why is it not something new right now?
I want a new phone. Right. I want a flagship.
That's how it works. But it is
isn't this the big quarter for buying phones, the fourth quarter?
Yeah. Right before the holidays.
I think we're going to see new stuff by the end of the year on those carriers. Yeah. And so I would just say, you know,
we know the 830 will be on AT&T because Stephen Elop said so.
And T-Mobile too, right? Somebody from T-Mobile, I think, tweeted at the end of last week.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, on T-Mobile as well. So that's good.
You know, the 735 is going to be on Verizon, according to Daniel Rubino over at Windows Phone Central. So, you know, those new phones are coming to the U.S. That wasn't what I was told, but great. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Good. And so that's good.
Actually,
and if, you know, again, if you're waiting for the high-end thing, I mean, I get it. But, you know, the 1520 is perfectly viable today. There's nothing wrong with it. Some people think it's too big. That I understand. What we need is something, you know, what we need basically is the 930, which is the international version of the Icon on AT&T. I'd love to have that phone on AT&T. Yep. And so we'll see what they do. But I think we're going to hear about something pretty soon.
Yeah. The rumor is successor to the 1020, right? So something with a super duper camera, maybe.
Yeah.
Interesting. And what about
I haven't heard that first.
What about this blue phone?
Daniel Rubino again had tweeted something about this the other day, that this blue phone is now available on Amazon
for
$89. And he ordered one and he reviewed it and, or, you know, kind of did a hands-on kind of thing with it. And if you're familiar with the low-end Nokia phones that are available today, you know that there's a 530 that replaced the 520, and that phone is garbage. This is comparable to that, but better, you know, in almost every conceivable way. And it's super cheap, $89 to start, no contract.
It's the Win Junior.
Yeah, I know. It's got a silly name. But if you go to Windows Phone Central and look this phone up, you can see, you know, what he wrote about it. And the camera quality is decent for what it is. The build quality is excellent. And much nicer phone than the 530 in the same price range. If you're going to compare it to like a 635, which, you know, no contract, I think is more closer to the maybe 125, possibly 140 range. The 635 is a bigger screen, slightly better specs, but they're actually pretty comparable, according to Daniel, who I would trust. And again, if looking for a low.
While Apple is eschewing the low end,
I know.
It looks like the real roundhouse, the sweet spot for Microsoft, is in these low end phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where they've seen success.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's a bigger business.
By the way, when you make Windows Phone, in this case, or Windows available for free on low-cost, low-end devices,
you're going to get
those devices. And this is one of, you know, 20 or so that's coming out this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with that. And then so Microsoft will continue to make the high-end, well, not just high-end, but mostly high-end phones, and then as Lumias. And then there's a big
market. You'll see a few. Yeah, I mean, you won't see as many because they just don't make as much sense for this market. But obviously Microsoft, as they do with Surface, you know, they need a showcase for what's possible with Windows Phone.
Right.
They also need volume. And let's face it, market share really does matter. So
yeah.
They need numbers too. So,
yeah.
It's great. Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a much more fragmented market than it used to be.
Yeah. I've asked them, though. I've asked a couple times recently, so are you guys getting out of the flagship space and leaving that to OEMs? Like, are you just done and only focusing low or mid-range? They keep saying no. So
right. Me too.
Yep. Yep.
Because, when I met with them to see the 830 and the 730, 735, and I said, look, I'm sorry I have to ask because people are going to bitch and moan about this.
Yep.
You are going to have follow-ups that are actual high-end phones, right?
Right.
Like, well, we're not talking about that today. And I'm like, no, I get that. But you are at some point. And it was like, oh, of course. You know, it was silly to even ask. And I'm like, you understand that I have to ask because people freak out about everything. People freaked out about the MSN naming thing we talked about earlier. People freaked out because these phones weren't high-end phones. And that's what they apparently want.
Yep.
You know, I mean, people...
And you know the people we talk to on Twitter are the people who want the flagship phones, right? They're right. That's the audience.
That's
the audience. Yeah. This
podcast. Oh, I want one too. But you know, yeah. I look at the A30 and I think actually
that looks nice
as a phone. This meets my needs. I think. I mean, I'll need to spend actual time with it and take my own photos and all that. But
yeah. It's nice and thin, though, right?
It's wonderful. It's if you ever like. Well, actually, I thought about this later because we talked about this last week. You have an Icon, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, so an Icon is a fairly large phone. It's a big and heavy and thick phone, right? I mean, especially compared to your 8X.
Yep.
So, you know, the nice thing about the 830 is it's that basic. It is literally that design, but thinned down. I mean, not exactly 50%, but it's so much thinner and lighter. Mm-hmm. And those two phones, the new ones, the 730, 735, and the 830, you know, they're so light, it's almost silly. And if you have any background at all with Nokia devices, you know, going back to the 800 at the 920 or whatever, a lot of these phones were really dense and heavy. Mm. And these new ones are not like that.
Nope.
There's a little risk, too, though, but doing low-end stuff. Windows Phone Central also has a review of the Yez Billy, which they saw at IFA.
another great name for a phone, by the way.
I know. So crazy. Named after Bill Gates.
It's like throwing random letters together.
Yes.
No, Billy. Named after Gates.
Bill Gates. And they say it's terrible. It's underpowered. And so that's the risk also is that when there's crap out there and people try it, they might just assume, oh, these Windows phones are awful. That's why Microsoft has to make flagship phones. I'm sorry. But
last Saturday, I set out to do a bunch of errands. And among those errands was I was going to visit both T-Mobile and AT&T and kind of figure out what I wanted to do in the future for a wireless carrier. And I walked into the T-Mobile store, and this is what I walked into. It was a woman helping a guy buying a phone. And she said, and actually, for the same price over here, we have this Windows phone you might want to look at. And he said, oh, what's this? And it was a 635. And the guy said, this is only whatever it was, whatever the price, 99 or 129 or whatever. And she said, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I'll take this.
Wow.
I was like, what is this alternate universe I've just walked into?
Wow.
You know, I was like, sign me up. I love this place.
Yeah. Yeah. I love T-Mobile. I am a very happy T-Mobile customer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to London in a week or 2 weeks, and I don't have to – I went online to say, well, what's going to be the international plan? There is no international plan.
Mm. Well, you can pay more to get, like, 4G type coverage.
Can you? Because you only get 2G, I understand. It's unlimited 2G for free.
Which, by the way, I used in Spain the whole time we were there.
It's fine,
and
right?
It worked great. Yeah, it worked
and
fine.
And unlimited international texting, which frankly is the most important thing to me.
And then cheap calling. The calling cheap, is really cheap, too.
Cheap calling.
Without doing anything.
Without like doing anything.
You literally just bring the phone. You don't make any switches. You don't do airplane mode. You don't turn up cellular or anything. You just bring your phone.
So yeah. I looked and I couldn't find, because I thought, well, what if I wanted to buy a 4G package?
No, you can. You can do that.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't see that. I'll have to look.
Yeah, you might have to, I don't know, talk to someone or whatever. You can. You can.
No, I hate that.
You can.
I should go to a special group for people who don't want to talk to people and only want to talk to, wait a minute, their phones. Here we go. We have it. Here is that special group, thanks to Microsoft.
Okay, everyone. We're here to talk openly about our relationships. Who would like to begin? Jake?
Feel betrayed.
Anyone else? Clay?
I guess I was expecting too much. I'm a spontaneous guy, and it seems like when I'm ready to go out, she just can't keep up.
So everyone was expecting more from Siri.
She doesn't understand a f***ing thing about me.
Right. We all saw the commercials. Her hanging out with celebrities, acting all cool and stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of stuff.
Same here. But when I ask her for something, it's the same old story. I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Udon noodles. Udon noodles. You guys understand that? Because she doesn't.
Huh? You got them for me.
Oh, you get it from this guy and not for me? That's not fair. Come on, look at him.
Blaine.
Udon.
I just feel like I have to think of everything. You know, where's the spontaneity? An occasional suggestion would be nice.
Actually, I've heard that Cortana does that.
I've heard good things about Cortana, too.
When were you planning on sharing that?
Clay, I'm here to help you with your relationships, not end them.
I want to end my relationship.
If you jump from one relationship to the other, you'll never grow.
Cortana does that. She grows with you. She picks up on your likes and adapts to you.
This didn't air on TV, obviously. I mean, this is.
Hold up. I think they're chopping it up for TV.
Yeah.
How do you know so much about Cortana?
Lena, is there something you'd like to share?
I'm sorry, I do not understand.
Oh, that's cute.
This is good. This is really good. That's a good ad. And of course, it's a Microsoft ad for the Lumia 635.
Right.
Notice Lumia, no Nokia.
Yep.
On that ad, by the way. I can read too, you know. Yeah. All right.
You're not the only one.
I'm not the only one. All right, we gotta move here. Xbox.
Oh. All right, we can get through this really quickly.
Please.
Because it's not Call of Duty. So
Udon. Udon.
Udon.
Don.
Xbox One is heading up to 29 markets this month. Some of that's already happening. It's already happened. It's happening over the course of the month. And so some of these were, I don't know, I remember 6 or 7 of these were countries they were originally going to launch in last holiday season, and they pulled back in August or September. Now it's finally happening. So it only took about a year, but Xbox, by the end of this month, should be basically in most of the markets we can get a PS4. And so it will be even more embarrassing when we don't beat the PS4 after that. All right, so...
it's not numbers, Paul. Just keep saying this over and over. It's not market share.
Really? Because I think it's kind of Star Trek. So, as you know, they have a new system update for Xbox One that comes out every month. And so people are in the preview program and now getting early access to the October version of that, which includes major improvements to the Snap interface, which drives me insane currently. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Snap doesn't work real well for me. And I want to use it with the NFL because I want to snap my...
I fumble every time I use Snap. It makes me crazy, and I can tell looking at this, this is going to fix that. And so that's good.
Good.
There's a bunch of other stuff. I mean, most of it's not really dramatic. Media player app, which is terrible, is going to get DLNA support. So it's not just USB. That's nice. And that's, I don't know, for me, that's most of it. And what else? Oh, Mary Jo's got an Xbox One story in here.
What? How did that happen?
Well, I just saw it. It's not mine. But I guess there is a small number of customers who are reporting excessive amounts of noise coming from their Xbox One consoles, and Microsoft is replacing them.
Wow. Yeah, they're
replacing
them. Are they going to
replace the ones that are too big for my living room?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because I have that problem.
It's too big for your living room?
It's so huge, Leo. my Volkswagen is smaller than
this. No, it's not. I have my, by the way, my Xbox One, I don't hear anything. It's quiet.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah.
I love my Xbox One. It's sitting right there under my curved screen TV and my stereo system in the rack there, and it looks gorgeous, and I'm very, very happy. Yeah. I love the...
I don't know how many people this is. Yeah, it's just saying. People are saying the console is too loud.
Somebody's got a bent fan blade.
Where did you see this?
Kotaku. Is that how you say that? Kotaku.
Actually, that's a reliable gaming site.
Kotaku,
yeah.
See, I never go on gaming sites. I don't even know how to say
you
that word.
You know that, yeah.
But they're saying
it's
if you're having
it... interest, Mary Jo. P-interest.
P-interest.
Exactly. Go to support.xbox.com, and you can request a replacement if you're one of those small number of people.
They'll have my Xbox when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
Have you filled up your internal hard drive yet, Leo?
No, because remember, I bought a 3-terabyte external drive.
Okay.
And
do you know
I
how close you were to filling it, though?
Yes.
Because I'm like, I think I'm at like 7%.
Yes. Because when it first boots up, it doesn't see the external drive. And that and that green bar goes all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then it says, oh, no, you have 2.9 terabytes left. And I go, thank you.
Oh.
It's so nice. You just buy an external USB drive. It recognizes it. You don't have to do anything. And it's all there. And the games get saved. And you know... games are big. Diablo was over 20 gigabytes. Destiny's 18 gigabytes. These things are massive.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So you really... And by the way, I'm never going to buy another disc.
This is like when Apple added Retina displays to the devices, and all of a sudden the games were like 50 megabytes to 1.9 gigabytes. Yeah. It was like this crazy job.
Yeah.
You
know? But I am very happy with... I play Diablo in... you know, nonstop for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Diablo a Call of Duty game? Because I don't recall.
I feel so sorry for you, Paul.
But is it like Call of Duty?
You're missing out on all these. There's Guacamelee.
No, I've been playing.
Play Guacamelee. That is, was it Daniel Rubino who told me how good that was? That's a great little, it's one of those indie games, free, you know, inexpensive indie games. Just so fun. Apparently, somebody in the chat room saying Destiny, which came out yesterday, cost $500 million to make.
Wow.
No
doubt. You talk about how expensive movies are.
The opening cinematic is like the beginning of a Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
I mean, it's really impressive.
Apparently, they made it all back in the first day.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
When I played Diablo 3, because I played it on the computer, I played it on the PC all the way through, you know, last year. And it's so beautiful. There's so much detail, so much art. It's so big.
Right.
It really, I have to say, you know, it's a brave new world. All right, let's take, I'm sorry.
Jeez. No, we can skip the other stuff. We kind of.
EU asks Google for more search concessions. Apple announces new iPhones. I who cares?
Yeah.
And you said the real star of the show, Tim Cook. But wait a minute. Did you watch it where he touches Bono?
Oh, dear God. So I think there could be a really funny videotape made of the most awkward moments ever in an Apple keynote. And like 27 of them were in yesterday's. And from Phil Schiller's like horrible jokes that fell flat on everybody to I kept thinking, okay, I've now seen the most stilted fake moment I've ever seen in a keynote. And then Bono and him pretended to have an impromptu conversation about that was so awful. What is wrong with that? Never do that again.
Well,
it's terrible.
It's now a meme. It's now a meme on all over the place.
It's like E.T., you know, and Elliot like putting their fingers together.
That's exactly what. Ouch! And now they're making a steeple, or I don't know what they're doing.
It's so terrible. Please don't make.
That is weird.
Cringe-inducing. Awful.
And Tim Cook was so, you know, he was so happy.
Goofily happy. I should say, you know, Tim Cook had his... Last June, Phil Schiller let out that, you know, can't innovate my ass comment, which was very telling about his, you know, his actual perception of what was happening.
Yeah.
Tim Cook had that moment yesterday where he finally announced his own product, and he actually didn't just cheer. He ran out like pumping his arms. And
I think that's what it was exactly.
Wow, this is the weight of the world coming off this guy's shoulders.
Finally,
I have never seen anything as bald faced as that. I mean, yes,
it was very clear.
That was very interesting.
We watched him. We had a camera crew down there, and we watched him leaving the event, signing autographs. And he was
like visibly shaking, like he was walking
floating.
Out, like,
he was. Yeah. His loafers were 3 inches off the ground. He was, and rightly so, because he, you know what, Tim's been underneath Steve Jobs for 10 years.
Oh, God. By the way, it didn't help that he announced it with the one more thing, but, you know, whatever. I mean,
that was his thing. That was a way of a nod. It was a nod, and you know what, see, the Apple fans loved that. We all went,
of course they do. But I mean, if you're trying to get out from Steve Jobs' shadow, evoking Steve Jobs is not necessarily the smartest thing to do. That's all.
You can't ignore
Steve.
Come on.
What if Nadella started yelling, developers, developers,
well,
developers?
Well,
you'd love it, Paul.
Really? Would you?
Wouldn't you? I would.
Would I?
I would. Oh. It would be a nod to, like, you know, hey, we're still evolving.
All right. Well, I have to think he would do it ironically. I mean,
I don't think we'll
cross that bridge when it comes.
No, I cannot see Sacha.
I'm not saying it wrong.
Hopping around on the stage.
No, doing high fives. Yelling.
No, I don't. I don't think.
Maybe.
I can't wait to see Ballmer's first Clippers game.
Oh, I know. That's going to be crazy, right?
Is he going to?
Sports Center is already awesome enough, but they're going to have like top 10 Ballmer moments now.
They are.
Sports Center.
I could see Steve throwing a chair on the court. I can see Steve running on the court and hugging a player.
The best day is going to be when they play the Mavericks and him and Mark Cuban can go at it. That's going to be the best.
Oh.
So they'll throw beer at each other. It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
It's like, it's going to be watching monkeys fight in a cage at the zoo, you know?
Hey, we're going to do the back of the book in just a second. We've got tips, tools, tricks, and beer all waiting for you. But first, a word from Squarespace, the secret behind some of the best websites in the world, including our own Inside Twit blog. Squarespace is a hosting platform, so they host your site, but they also do the software that sits on top of your site to give you an amazing experience, second to none. Your site will never go down, which is awesome. It's everything you need. They start with 25 templates. Now, first of all, that's not really the right word for what you're starting with. It's just a starting point. You completely get to make it your own. But the beauty of these templates is all of the hard work behind the scenes has been done. Mobile responsive, so they look great on all size screens. E-commerce in every one of them. State-of-the-art HTML5, CSS, it's the best. These guys know what they're doing. If you should run into a problem, their customer service is the best. And it's not outsourced. It's from their offices in Squarespace headquarters in New York City. So it's really great. Complete analytics. They have apps for tablets and phones that make it easy to post, to measure analytics. They even have a little app on the website that you can use to design your logo. Great for photographers. They have an app, a portfolio app, that lets you pull the pictures from your site to present them to your client. I mean, I could just go on and on. But here's the thing. You can try it free. You don't have to listen to me. Just visit squarespace.com. Click the Get Started button. You've got 2 weeks free. You don't have to give them a credit card. You don't have to pay them anything. If at the end of the 2 weeks you say, you know what, this is pretty good. And by the way, you can completely import all your data. You could every day you can have a different template and then some. But if you decide to buy, use our offer code Windows, you'll get 10% off. And that makes it very affordable, as little as $8 a month, including a free domain name when you sign up for a year. Squarespace.com. Just do me a favor. Click that little Get Started button and try it today. I think you're going to like it. If you decide to buy, use the offer code Windows. Squarespace is a better place for your next website. Paul Thurrott has our tip of the week. Paulie?
So today I just have two software picks.
Okay.
Tips. So Skype for Windows Phone got a pretty major update today. Three new things in there. The big one is location sharing. And so this works via a Bing map. And so sometimes people will be communicating on Skype on the go and they want to say, you know, meet me at the whatever, or where are you, that type of thing like you would do on a phone. And this gives you a way from right inside the app to pinpoint your location for the other person as a Bing map, and then they can use that to get to you. And so that's kind of a cool deal. And then the other two aren't huge deals, but picture saving, meaning that if someone shares a photo with you, you can save it to your save photos or save pictures folder, I guess it's called. And then chat notification management, meaning that if you're in a chat with someone and you're not in the app, typically you'll get those toast notifications at the top of the screen. That can get annoying. And so if you want to turn off the chat notifications on a chat by chat basis, you can do so now in Windows Phone. And so that's for Windows Phone 8.0 and 8.1. You can get it at the Windows Phone store. The other one is kind of a fun one. You know, as Microsoft has kind of moved Windows forward, they've taken away some of the arrow effects that we used to get in Windows 7. And so Windows 8 has, you know, flat windows. They got rid of the window shadows and that kind of thing. And there's some people hope they'll bring some of that back in Windows 9. I don't know about that. But our friends over at Stardock have created a new $5 utility called ShadowFX, which brings shadows back to Windows 8. But it actually does more than that. It makes shadows even better. And so you can have colored shadows like red or blue or green or whatever. You can have shadows that are bright and vibrant or white kind of misty type shadows. And they can emphasize in ways that weren't possible even when we had shadows, which window is at the forefront in a way that is actually visually kind of excellent. And so I grabbed this one this morning. I don't really, it's funny, I never really missed the shadows, but I wanted to check this out. I like Brad and all their stuff. And I was looking at this and I was like, this is actually kind of a cool utility. And if you're not sure if you want it, you can trial it for free for 30 days. So you can find that one over at stardock.com.
It's $5 probably, right?
$5, yeah.
$5, yeah.
They're smart. $5. Where's my $5?
Yeah. They're smart because it's not, I mean, yeah. It's just shadows.
Yep.
It's just shadows, but it's also just $5.
Yeah. Yep. You get the best of both worlds. You pay a little money for shadows. Enterprise pick of the week. Let's delve into that with Mary Jo Foley.
Ooh, nice segue there. Ooh. Delve is the enterprise pick of the week. And so Delve, we've talked about it on the show a couple of times. What it is it's kind of like Flipboard for Office 365. So you see all these cards as the interface. I have a picture if you want to see what it looks like on my site. And it brings together all the different people and documents and relationships that you have and that you give it authorization to see. So say somebody sends you something and you save it in OneDrive. Somebody sends you something, you save it on your PC. Then you're in a meeting and you're like, oh, where did I save that? Delve goes out, finds it, and brings it all together in a really cleaner, easier way for you to find. So the reason it's the pick this week is Microsoft's now starting to roll it out for Office 365 users. So almost everybody who has an Office 365 business plan, not the home or the personal,
I don't get it.
You do not get it unless you have small business or small business premium or the A, the G. Pretty much everybody who has a business plan is going to get this by the start of 2015. The people who will get it first are those who are in the first release program because they've elected to try stuff out early. Then the big plans will get it, the E, the A, and the G, the academic plans. And then finally, small business premium. So it's starting to roll out as of this week, and it's going to take them a few months, but you're going to start seeing Delve if you're an Office 365 user on the business plans.
Wow. That's a cool idea. And it does it all automatically. Yeah. It pulls it all in.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
Very cool.
What is it? Code name? Are we code naming?
Yeah, code name. Or code naming. So this was a really awesome little find I had before Microsoft pulled it off the web. somebody, one of their partners, accidentally or didn't know he shouldn't have done this, he dumped all their code names for the next two or three releases of CRM onto the web.
Wow.
Nice. He posted a roadmap slide that has like, here's what we're going to do this fall and here's what we're going to do in the spring of next year. And so I called it Codename-a-palooza. There's so many code names here. I mean, there's like eight new dynamic CRM code names. The big one to know in the immediate term, if you're a Microsoft CRM customer, is Vega. And so they're using Constellation code names right now as their theme. And Vega is the next major release of CRM on-prem and CRM online both. It's going to be coming in the fall of this year, according to this roadmap. It's going to support 29 new languages and supposedly support, quote, any device. So they're really taking that whole cloud-first, mobile-first thing another step with CRM. The other interesting thing I saw is they're adding Power BI into a CRM web client as part of this release too. So if you're into Dynamics CRM and you want to see what's coming, go check out that slide.
And who isn't?
And who isn't? I agree. Yep.
Yeah. Libra, yep. Vega, Hydra, Electra.
I know.
Phoenix,
so many good
Carina,
ones.
Corvus, Spica, and Taurus.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Well, it doesn't matter if the code names leak out. The roadmap might be more important than that.
Yeah. At the end, I've got a second slide from the roadmap that lists all, like, features coming that also wasn't supposed to be on the web. But boom. Luckily, little snapped it right up.
Nothing like it.
Nothing like
Let's
it.
Let's do some beer.
Yeah. My beer pick of the week. So I haven't done an IPA in a while, and I'm going to do a pretty nicely hopped one this time. It's from Ballast Point.
Sorry.
And by
also,
the way,
having
the beer advocate is doing the internet slowdown.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah. Yep. So Ballast Point Grapefruit Sculpin IPA. So Ballast Point makes this really awesome basic IPA called Sculpin, and now they've got one that has even more grapefruit. So when I drank this, I was like, wow. It's like having one of your fruit servings in a beer.
Now with more grapefruit.
It is. It's so good. It's so delicious. Yeah, they make really great IPA, a basic good IPA, 7% or so. But this one just takes it up a notch if you're somebody who likes the grapefruit. I don't know if Paul would like that one. Probably not.
Are you a grapefruit guy?
Actually, the hoppy grapefruit thing is clearly a natural byproduct of whatever ingredients are in there, because that's pretty common. I like that kind of thing.
It is.
The quarter mile IPA from my favorite brewery is like that. It's got a real citrusy.
Yeah, I love the citrus.
Yeah, yes. I like that a lot.
It's tangy.
Tangy. Yeah.
Tangy.
Yeah.
Ballast Point Brewing Company, Grapefruit Sculpin IPA. Mm-hmm. Mary Jo Foley is at a Microsoft, allaboutmicrosoft.com, the ZDNet blog site, and posts all the time. If you want to keep up on what's happening with Windows, you got to read Mary Jo, allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul Thurrott, if you want to know how to use Windows, what's the inside scoop, he's got that at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. And, of course, his books, too. You'll find a list and links to all of them at windows81book.com.
I need to write a Call of Duty field guide.
The field guide to Call of Duty.
How to get the dog, chapter 2. Dogs are your man's best friend.
Dogs are man's best friend. A lot of games now, you have a companion. Mm-hmm. Destiny, you've got a little...
You notice Destiny has the same kind of companion you used to have in Halo. Well, not a companion. Kind of. It was like the enemy.
Same
sort of little intelligent thing floating soccer ball thing.
Yeah. Follows you around. It's convenient. It's called the Exposition Cube.
Yes. Yes. That's what it should be called, yeah.
It's very useful.
I need one of those.
Storyline bot.
Yeah.
Over here. Quick, walk over here. Let me tell you why you're shooting these people. I don't need to know. Thank you. I just need to shoot them.
Thank you.
You know that this is an alien race that's taking over the world, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't care. Nazis, you know, aliens, yeah, zombies, really, I don't care. Give me a gun.
Are there grenades?
Not yet. That's in the future. You know, they really did a disservice to people because the ads make it look like Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's a game. It's a shoot 'em up. It's a first-person shooter. But the ads,
well, it's
like
a first-person shooter, but it's also kind of it's like an RPG light as well. It's,
right. There's a little RPG, and there's certainly online, gaming. And
oh yeah, you can't leave the thing sitting there. That's the thing. Actually,
oh really?
That's my big complaint. Well, because it's an online game.
Yeah. Sometimes
really.
I'd like to get up and pee, but
right?
Then you
God
come
forbid,
back and you're
you know?
Dead.
Yep. And you come back and you've just signed out.
Yeah. Your
and
friends
if you made
say,
any
loser.
You lose progress.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I don't like that.
No, I had that problem with the beta because I didn't really want to play all the time.
Leo, seriously, what is wrong with you? Do you need to go to a doctor?
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. We do Windows Weekly Wednesdays about 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. Please tune in. Watch live.
By the way,
yes.
Can I do something I've never done?
Please.
Can I make a podcast title suggestion?
Oh, I'm writing it down right now.
This is from Steven Sandhoff on Twitter.
Yes.
And he said this much earlier in the show, but he said, you should call it Snarknado.
A deal. Deal, deal, deal. Actually, every episode is Snarknado.
I thought that was pretty good.
I was just going to call it Udon Noodles, but maybe Snarknado is better.
That's good, too.
Thank you for being here. We do make on-demand audio and video available at our website, twit.tv/dubdub. But you can also get it online, you know, use the podcast app or go to the Xbox Music Store or iTunes or wherever you get your shows. We'll be there. Just look for Windows Weekly. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Mary Jo. We'll see you next time.